In the modern world, it's difficult to imagine a nation without a professional standing military force. But throughout history, such a force has been considered at odds with the liberty of the people. This issue was far from settled when the United States was created, and the debate between our founding fathers is embedded in some of our nation's core documents, like the Federalist Papers. While many consider it an absolute necessity today, the standing army has been recognized by many thinkers as the natural precursor to an empire, a force that compels the host nation to constantly expand. As conservatives slowly begin to question the forever wars which our ruling elite have used to waste the blood and treasure of this nation, it's worth stopping to evaluate the role that the maintenance of a large professional fighting force has played in compelling our leaders to seek constant conflict. Before we tackle this issue, it must be said that the reflexive conservative support of American soldiers is the correct instinct. Volunteering to put oneself in harm's way to protect the people of your nation is a noble act. The American military has become an almost hereditary warrior caste, drawing heavily from red state populations to man its most combat-effective units. It's entirely proper for conservatives to venerate the honorable service of their brothers, neighbors, and children. One of the main reasons U.S. armed services are facing a recruiting crisis is the way that they've demonized and purged conservative soldiers, which traditionally filled their ranks. So as we look at the virtues or dangers of a standing military, let's remember that we're not questioning the honor of those who so diligently served this nation. Niccolò Machiavelli is best known for his work, The Prince, but most people don't realize that the political theorist was not a monarchist, but was instead a staunch supporter of the republican form of government. For Machiavelli, the nature of a state's military defense was the most important factor in its ability to secure liberty, and he wrote about the subject at length. Renaissance Italy was plagued by constant warfare between competing city-states, and the regular use of mercenaries created serious problems for Florence, Machiavelli's home. Repeated betrayals by troops that had no personal ties to the city-state that they served led Machiavelli to conclude that no matter how rich a nation became, it must have a fighting force that was loyal to the people they protected. While Machiavelli understood the critical need for armed forces that were personally connected to the state, he warned against the dangers of keeping a professional army in times of peace in his book, Art of War. The political theorists believe that the ruling class must always fear professional soldiers because those military men have no other means of making money. Large standing armies are extremely expensive, and if they're not constantly deployed abroad to gather spoils or to secure trade, the cost of those forces adds up very quickly. If a state doesn't keep its professional troops deployed abroad and has no consistent way to afford paying them, then idle armed men with no other form of employment will quickly become a threat to the ruling class. War can also be an excellent way for the ruling class to make money by funneling tax dollars extracted from the populace through defense contractors who are often owned by or kicking money back to politicians. This means that those in charge of a country with a large professional fighting force always have an incentive to find a new war which makes them money and keeps the bulk of the military occupied in foreign lands. Empire becomes the natural solution to many problems imposed on a ruling class by a standing army. As an alternative, Machiavelli encourages republics to adopt the citizen militia as the solution to the problem of standing armies. By making every capable citizen a soldier, the Republic ensures that its military will be personally loyal to the state, but it also avoids the temptation of constant deployment and conquest. Militia members are drilled as soldiers, but they maintain civilian occupations that allow them to feed their families and pay their mortgages. When a threat to the nation arises, the militia members bravely defend their homeland. But when the danger has passed, they return to their normal lives. There's no need to constantly find money to pay the troops, no reason to regularly keep the forces deployed, and no incentive for a lucrative defense industry to grow up around your military. Machiavelli noted that when ancient Rome was a republic, its military was a citizen militia, where each citizen even had to provide their own weapons and armor. But as the army became professionalized and men made soldiering their career, the nation inevitably transformed into an empire. Hey guys, you remember that showdown at the Texas border that suddenly disappeared from the news? Ever wonder what happened with that? Well, to find out, you need to go ahead and watch the new Blaze Original documentary. You can join Jason Petrell and the Blaze Originals team on their quest to uncover the truth about the battle between Governor Greg Abbott and the federal government. Jason and the Blaze Original team found an alarming way around the Texas National Guard border blockade, and they want to show viewers what's really going on. Media coverage of Eagle Pass painted an alarming picture of what was happening, but the truth was way worse. The Blaze Originals team revealed that the elites on the left and the right, along with the media, all have something to gain from the border crisis, and that's why those interests are getting together to make it appear impossible to actually solve the problem. The mainstream media's narrative didn't pan out on the Eagle Pass crisis, and the Blaze Original team wants to show you why. 85% of people reaching the border are coming into America. That's the highest percentage ever. If you want to see this documentary, go ahead and go to therealbordercrisis.com and use the promo code BORDER to get $30 off your Blaze TV Plus subscription. America's founding fathers were also big admirers of the ancient Roman Republic and recognized many of the concerns Machiavelli expressed in his writings. Thomas Jefferson spoke regularly about the threat that standing armies pose to the liberty of a free people, while James Madison and Alexander Hamilton acknowledged these dangers when writing the Federalist Papers. While defending the legislative branch's ability to maintain a standing army in Federalist 24, Hamilton noted that two state constitutions, those of Pennsylvania and North Carolina, had clauses which explicitly warned that standing armies in a time of peace were a danger to liberty. In Federalist 29, Hamilton explains that a well-regulated citizen militia can make a standing army unnecessary, which in his mind was a much better way to avoid the perils of a standing army than outright banning the creation of one in the Constitution. Hamilton says, quote, "If a well-regulated militia be the most natural defense of a free country, it ought certainly to be under the regulation and the disposal of that body which is constituted the guardian of the national security. If standing armies are dangerous to liberty, an efficacious power of the militia in the body to whose care the protection of the state is committed ought, as far as possible, to take away the inducement and the pretext to such unfriendly institutions. If the federal government can command the aid of the militia in those emergencies which call for the military arm in support of the civil magistrate, it can the better dispense with the employment of a different kind of force. If it cannot avail itself of the former, it will be obliged to recur to the latter. To render an army unnecessary will be a more certain method of preventing its existence than 1,000 prohibitions upon paper," end quote. This is why we see so much confusion over the language of the Second Amendment. The citizen militia was assumed to be the default mode of armed defense for a free republic. Of course, every individual has a right to bear arms. How else could the United States protect itself? Now, to be clear, this doesn't validate the leftist claim that the Second Amendment is outdated. The right to self-defense doesn't cease to exist just because the United States has a professional military. But it is important to understand the context in which these critical documents were written. Our founding fathers were perfectly aware of the temptation that a standing army created and agreed with both the ancient Romans and Machiavelli that the citizen militia was the natural defense force of the republican form of government. Now, obviously, warfare has changed quite a bit from the days of Machiavelli. Intercontinental ballistic missiles and aircraft mean that military threats can appear at a moment's notice. Highly complicated weapon systems require intense training and specialization to use and maintain. The idea of having time to raise a citizen militia to effectively repel a threat from a major power, even if those militia members trained regularly, seems tenuous at best. Even if the United States wanted to scale down its military to a temporary force, other global players are unlikely to follow suit. Also, to be frank, Americans have gotten used to the notion that someone else will fight their battles. The idea that every individual citizen would take up the defense of their nation seems like a quaint notion from a bygone era. If a citizen militia is the cost of liberty, it's likely that for the average American, that cost would just be too high. As John Adams said, the Constitution is made to govern a virtuous people, and in that respect, we exist well beyond its reach. It may be that the best that the citizens of present-day America can do is to stay vigilant and guard against the temptations of empire that a standing army presents. Conservatives have already begun to lose their taste for forever wars, tired of sending their sons to serve an empire that no longer cares about them. Let's hope that this eventually forces America's ruling class to once again focus on the people it was supposed to prioritize in the first place. Thanks for watching, guys. If you enjoyed this video, go ahead and click like, and if you haven't subscribed yet, now is a great time to do so. If you'd like to get these broadcasts as podcasts, make sure that you go ahead and subscribe to The Orrin McIntyre Show on your favorite podcast platform. And when you do, leave a rating or a review. It really helps with the algorithm magic. If you'd like to follow me on Substack or Instagram or Twitter or Gab, if you'd like to watch these videos on Odyssey or Rumble, the links to do all of that are down below in the description. And of course, you can catch all of my videos and read all of my columns over at The Blaze. Thanks for watching, guys, and as always, I'll talk to you next time.